Before we get started today, there's a couple little things I need to tell you. Number one, I've never done this before. And I'm even made more nervous today because I have a sense of inviting my mother to come today. So my mother Dina is back there along with the rest of my family. She normally goes to Crestwood Baptist Church, but she's here today. So on top of everything else, even though I'm even made more nervous because she's here today. I've got a little handkerchief in my pocket so I can wipe sweat if I start stumbling. It's not intended to be used as like a bat up here giving you all that cake. We're going to go to the book of John, chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 28. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'll have a lesson after that. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid the ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What acts this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "This on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king? You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for to testify to the truth. Anyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again, case against him. "But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man." Now Barabbas was a bandit. So on Monday of this past week, we opened our newly renovated courthouse in LaGrange. And it's 55,000 some odd square feet. It's huge. By chance, my schedule was such that I had a jury trial scheduled on the very first day. So imagine you walking into a brand new building. Everything's got to be perfect for that first day of trial. And the case that I tried was a civil case. It was involving a car collision, and the main issue to be decided by the jury was who was at fault. After 3 days of testimony and argument, the jury was a verdict. Now, verdict is a term of art that we use in the law. It's a Latin phrase, as you all can probably guess, that most words in the law have some fashion or another. The first part, veri, means true. The second part, which is that dictum part, comes from a word that means to say or to talk. So literally, verdict means to talk truth. In my line of work, we don't just talk truth. We are tasked with trying to find it. Today, we look at most of the most famous trial in human history, but we're going to look at it through the eyes of Pontius Pilate, a man who was, by all accounts, a legal professional. In the text that we just read, Jesus of people who want to see him put to death. Now, there's a protection in the law for judges. It's called judicial immunity. And basically, judicial immunity means that if I, based upon evidence and the law, and you don't like it, you can't sue me. If you do, it goes nowhere, because I'm immune from suit. Now, the only time that I'm not immune from suit is outside of my jurisdiction. We see the argument going on in John chapter 18, verse 31. So when they bring Jesus to Pilate, he actually gets it right the very first time. He tells the mob of Jewish leaders, under their own laws, Pilate didn't want the case. He didn't have jurisdiction to judge Jesus. He tried to remand the case to those lower authorities. But the mob of accusers wouldn't relent and insisted on capital punishment. And he brings the defendant, Jesus, into his courtroom for trial. The only possible charge that Jesus could face that carried capital punishment under Pilate would have been insurrection, trying to overthrow the government. So Pilate examines Jesus. And there's an interesting exchange that takes place in verses 33 through 36. And then finally, Pilate asks Jesus in verse 38, "So you are," and Jesus tells him, "For this I was born, and for this I testify to the truth. Everyone that belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And then following that comes this retort from Pilate, a dismissive collection of cynicism that is echoed through the centuries and millennia since. What is truth? If Pilate were sitting as a judge in 2016, his cynicism may be even in an era where the very concept of truth is under attack. In 2018, Rudy Giuliani was running around the country trying to get on every TV show that he could. And on one such show, MSNBC, he was being interviewed by Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd had said something to the effect of, "Truth is..." Rudy Giuliani's response was, "No, no, it isn't truth. Truth isn't truth." And our current political lack has become a casualty of war. We no longer argue about whether the problem even exists. Candidates and parties construct entire alternate realities with the goal, where the goal isn't to be accurate, rather it is to be vote, to win an election. Take a look at any political ad that's on TV, and it's all theater to cater and cower to the loud mobs of money that are outside the door, outside in the world. Don't care about truth and justice. Political parties care about winning, power, and control. Like the crowd outside Pilate's door, the goal is often volume, not justice. We also live in a world of where generative AI can create truth out of thin air. We see deep fake videos of people saying things that they've made it facts that sound perfectly authoritative. AI, or justice, AI cares about patterns and probabilities. It can simulate a witness, fabricate evidence, and flood our senses until we become exhausted to the point where we, like Pilate, say, "What?" In a world full of deep fakes and political spin, the truth isn't just hidden, it's being drowned. In my courtroom, I see truth being stretched every day. In the jury trial, 7 witnesses testified as to intersection that caused the collision. 4 of those witnesses were experts. In the 25 years that I'm on the bench, I've been on the bench, at times I start to feel like Pilate. The perspective, power, or who has the loudest attorney. To Pilate, truth was about power, prestige, rank. It was Rome. It was the peace and quiet of the Pax Romana. He looked at a man that was in front of him who had been beaten, rejected, and powerless, and he laughed at the idea that that man could be the truth. As a judge, it's my duty, evidence and the law. And I'll be honest with you, Pilate actually gets it right the second time as well. After examining Jesus, he walks back to the crowd and says, "I find no case against him. All rules of justice, the case should have been dismissed. Jesus should have walked away scot-free, a free man. But Pilate commits the ultimate judicial sin. He trades truth for his own peace and quiet, his cowardice for an actual insurrectionist, Barabbas. Pilate released the guilty and condemned the truth because he was more afraid of public outcry than he was of a lie. Brothers and sisters, harshly. In fact, the Rolling Stones wrote it into the first verse of one of their songs asking for sympathy for him. But how often do we sit in the same position as Pilate? Every day, in the way that we treat our neighbors, the words that we direct towards family, friends, and strangers, in our integrity at work, in our online activities, in our devotion to Christ. Every day the world stands outside. Give us Barabbas. The world algorithmic echo chamber or political commentary and advertisement shouts for us to choose convenience, status, beauty, lust, wealth, power, and tribalism to be right and true. So let me conclude by telling you this. The truth is not a concept. The truth is Jesus. And if you didn't hear me, truth is not a concept. The truth is Jesus. What is the truth? He was looking directly at it. But he was blinded by his robe, his title, his power, his earthly desires, and he couldn't see what was literally right. In your courtroom of life, I'm looking at Brian. He's going to put something up on the screen, maybe. There we go. In your courtroom of life, you are the one robe. The evidence has been presented. The question for you is this. Will you find no fault in him and let the world lead him away? Or will you have the courage to stand for the truth, even when the crowd is screaming? So, church, what is your verdict?